Good evening, everybody. I'm Sandy Crevice, and I've carved my surname into the side of a mango, then put it in the sitting room window. I'm getting quite a lot of interest.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I left a steak chips and roasted cherry tomatoes next to my window. It didn't mean anything. It was just my tea. But I have orders from Just Scoff.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I've deep-fried all of my fruit and veg in batter. I don't know if it's code for anything, but it certainly attracts other Scottish people.
I'm Wanker, and I like my fruit sliced, put into a glass and drowned in Centauri Megagin. I don't know what it means, but it tastes delicious.
I'm Norma Snookers, and I've had to take all of the pampas grass out of my front garden. People kept turning up at the door, jangling their ship keys and wiggling their eyebrows.
Look, that was just one time, and then station security told me to stop. Let's just get on with the headlines. High-risk hijinks as Hyrox rocks 671 and takes Hutton to the brink.
Pilots Federation goes periodical.
Too hot, too messy, week 37 update.
Thargoids get creative with their ships.
Hutton sounding the big klaxon, but not in Avic for a change.
Commander Snuggles McKeague, Hutton BGS guru and monitor of all things marked Panic, was awoken from his slumber earlier in the week by a big flashing red warning on his console. Expecting it to be Avic, again, he promptly mashed the snooze button and fell back to sleep again, only to be woken a day later by an even bigger red flashing light and a small buzzer. Time for the snooze button again. After all, Avic was always pulling the panic cord, and as the system who called Wolf, he wasn't letting it bother his beauty sleep yet again. Maybe a little message to the custodians to go mop it up again with the popgun and the pocket slingshot. By day three of being awoken, he rubbed the sleep from his eyes and took a look at the screen. Ross, 671. What? What? Yes, the Hutton system of longstanding, originally brought under Alfin's dominion by the actions of commanders including Klopster and his mighty Glopiter-Glopiter machine, was a big red flashing klaxon sounding emergency system. Usually as stable as it comes, and a plentiful source of Hutton bounties for Hutton, the political team there had been cut back to one careful overseer and someone to sweep the dust off the pads. The enemy? Well, we've all heard of green energy, the kind of thing that's made by puffs of wind or wibbly wobbly waves bobbing up and down, or maybe a little bit of sunshine, and so no one had paid attention to the Hyrox Blue Energy Corporation. Just a fad, like almond milk in your latte, or those heat source pumps governments were trying to insist were far better for your household than the standard edition nuclear power stations. What Hutton failed to notice was that there weren't any blue energy generating corporations. There was a blue energy dispensing corporation. And by dispensing, we mean shooting. And by blue, we mean beam lasers. And they'd spent exorbitant amounts of arcs on them. Needless to say, Hutton's crack BGS team swung into action, and after 3 days of ignoring the alert entirely, started the long haul of taking the Hyrox Blue Energy, folding it neatly and stuffing it where the sun doesn't shine, which is not a good location for green energy either, though it is known for being a little windy. The Attic Attack and other commanders, including a number of Haxwing, who appear to be on a little R&R expedition from Spanking Tharg, have been hard at work at it in Ross 671, and it appears that the work has turned. We've now lifted the big shiny mirror up to Blue Hyrox beams, and Hutton are in the process of not losing as fast as we can. Balanced on a knife edge, the final day is a winner-takes-all situation, and Commander Chicks has more information on what to do later in the broadcast.
The Pilots Federation, based at Shinrata Desra, are the publishing wing of the power behind the power behind the galaxy. Forget your faction, nor your powers, or even your superpowers. though we think the X-ray vision is quite a cool one. The PF's where the real action is. New ships being issued, it's PF that rubber stamps the designs. Applying for a faction of your very own? Well, it used to be them, but everyone was getting very silly with the names and abandoning them the last century's Tamagotchis to be plaintively out there in the black and clog up everyone's shipboard panels. Updates to the software in your ship? Well, they're the guys and girls that build the cunning installer that makes the beepy things go beep better. The wibbly things wibble a little more, and of course the docking computer find new and interesting ways to interact with the scenery. In recent years, they've been putting out live broadcasts every 2 weeks, totting up what great pictures the galaxy has been sending in via Tony Hart-style gallery, shamelessly robbing from other great broadcasters, for instance this very show and of course Galnet News Digest, and of course giving away stonking good pots of paint for you to draw daisies on your Diamondback and patterns on your Python. With Commander Gambit finally living up to his name and retiring to create some kind of poopy casino at the edge of populated space, apparently he's adept at both the craps and the blackjack. The PF's media team have been left with a little limp. With only three wheels on their wagon, two at the front, one at the back, they decided to become a monthly periodical. As with all great monthly publications, whether that be the subscription magazine that promises you after 100 editions you can build your own cardboard crate, or Time and Space magazine complete with glossy cover photoshoot, they're looking to put together a bumper edition in a slightly less frequent output level, giving ARF and the also pink PWAF pilot more time to hone their content, polish their pictures, and of course come up with cunning teasers that keep you on the edge of your seat for 4 whole weeks. Of course, the usual individuals have been fast to run through the studio shouting DOOM at everyone, but as we know on this very broadcast station, making these things look just the way they do and bang up to date takes a long time, by which time they are not up to date anymore, so we cobble them together in 30 minutes before the show. The PF have of course substituted one of their broadcasts for an in-person visit, and they are taking their particular blend of anarchic space to the Science Museum in South Britain, or that's on old Earth, in Seoul. They have, for some reason, invited LCU Noelfull Lightone, but we don't know whether he's giving a lecture on the dangers of cloning or making a salt on the buffet, as he's proper Hank Marvin. Beyond that, keep your eyes peeled for your monthly edition of Frameshift Live, and don't forget to cut out the free coupons for your cardboard anaconda.
After 37 weeks, or 9 months, too hot, too messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver a Hutton mug and Centauri Megagen to all the stations in the galaxy has reached almost 69,000 deliveries. That's my favourite number, times 1,000. Last week was down significantly on the previous weeks, in fact, with only 869 deliveries. It is the second lowest week ever, and the 4-week average has fallen to below 1,400. Two new commanders have joined in the effort in this last week, leaving 286 commanders representing 94 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent, with 77 commanders who have delivered over 33,000 mugs, but this is less than half the total. So thanks to all the other squadrons taking part and delivering more than the other half. The Buckyball Racing Club are still in second place with over 4,000. The Winged Hussars are in third with over 2,800. The Paladins are in fourth with 1,800. The Burr Pit are fifth with 1,400. The Undead are sixth. The Anti-Xeno Initiative are in seventh after becoming the eighth squadron to have broken the 1,000 mug mark. 60-odd mugs ahead of the Soterra Accord in eighth. Commander Chicks is still leading the deliveries table with over 9,000 mugs delivered. Some say he's been watching noisy, pretty things zoom about instead of delivering mugs. Water 81 is second with over 8,000 deliveries, ahead of Nemb in third with over 5,000, and Shea Blackwood is in fourth, just shy of 4,000. Ahead of Infinite Dreamer in fifth on 2,500, the 1,000 Club now has 11 members. Of course, we know all this because it's tracked live in the Too Hot, Too Messy event page on the Hutton Helper. In addition to trying to impress the station barman with your mugging prowess, there is a chance to win a real-world, handle at a jaunty angle, dishwasher unsafe, Hutton mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the coming week will be entered into next week's draw to win a real Hutton mug. Unless, of course, you already have one. 35 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commander's table. Last week's winner was Dart Virtual, who also won a Hackswing mug the same day. Keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you had delivered 10 mugs and gin a week in every week since the start, 8 months ago, you would have racked up 370 deliveries next to your commander name. And only 32, or nearly 1 in 9 of commanders who have signed up, have actually managed this. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden? In order to join in the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download. And then you can sign up and your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Intarius Fusion's artificially intelligent Nexus 8 replicant hamsters, which come with a limited lifespan but real lab-grown fur.
Back when Thargoids were a memory, or maybe just a little bit of a worry at the back of everyone's mind, and humanity hadn't been subjected to all manner of green caustic clouds, strange gnarbling sounds, and of course lightning attacks, Tharg the Mighty and his mini minions, we haven't seen any mighty ones yet, had seeded huge chunks of space with what had turned out to be Thargoid probes. Bring your ship near one of them and prod it in just the right way and it made a noise. A noise that contained a picture of your ship, which it promptly beamed back to the boss over at Tharg HQ. Tharg the Mighty has a gallery on his or her or their wall. It's one of those pictures made up of lots and lots of little pictures. It's a picture of his or her or their mum or dad or, well, you get the idea. But all the little itsy-bitsy pictures are you in your ships. Your Viper, your Sidewinder, that bit round mummy or daddy Tharg's eyes is probably the curve of an Imperial Clipper and his or her or their nose. Well, looks an awful lot like Hanky's Corvette. Tharg took a look at the mighty mini fleet of itsy-bitsy little eight-sided geometric shapes and little Earl the Scavenger and was jealous. Jealous of the Asp having a brother called the Asp Explorer, or the two flavours of ever-so metrosexual Diamondback, or two types of Eagle, or one and a half Cobras. It was after this jealousy turned to rage that Tharg ordered his or her mighty mega factories to start churning out new Thargoid ships at a rate that stopped him or her posting things on Thargobook about how it was an outrage that there weren't hundreds of new ships and they didn't all cost real money to buy and fly. It was then that the Basilisk and the Medusa, the Cyclops and the Hydra were created, and Tharg was happy. Just because they could, the shipyards added the ever-so-flatulent Orthus. But even that didn't keep Tharg happy. So there are rumours in recent days that Tharg has demanded even more. And it needs to be spiky, like a Raider ship kit. The kind of thing that catches in your claws on a good walk in the countryside and makes you itch. Which begs the question, what are they going to call it? We've looked through our Greek mythology and have a few ideas. Could it be the Kraken? Possibly not. And that's big, which means it's probably at the centre of the maelstrom. How about a Gorgon? Well, we've already got a Medusa. Commander Psychic has suggested it's a Harpy. We like that one, famous for abducting people and torturing them on the way to the underworld. Just the kind of thing Thargoids like to do to unsuspecting wedding barges that can't get their vows written in time. But we think these aren't spiky enough, so we're going to go with a stonking big Minotaur. Horny as heck and massively snorty, enough to terrify even the boldest of hackswing into thinking twice about saying olé and instead going cowardly custard. With the next update on the horizon, no, not four horizons, we've only got weeks before our ship systems will be able to identify this newcomer and whatever threat it poses. Or of course, it could be the other Thargoid faction, the apologetic, polite one, the Canada of Xeno relations, which would make it a moose.
After a few weeks of relative calm in Hutton space, one system is the focus of much attention this week, and it is one of the six getting themselves noticed for not the best reasons. More on those stories coming up. At the bottom of the pile, on a miserable 26, is Ross 671, where a war for control of the system broke out at the weekend. Initially, Hutton started on top, then lost 3 days in a row, leaving us 3-1 down and within hours of losing one of our longest-held systems. Murmurs in the station bar intensified into cries of panic, and so far Hutton commanders have pulled it back to 3-2. Today's efforts have not yet been verified, so it will be either all square at 3-3, or we'll have lost the system to the Blue Hyrux Corporation. Head over to Ross 671 and fight for Hutton. Stop press. It's a draw! 3-3! Get in there and turn those Blue Hyrux into Brown Lorux. One more day, truckers. Almost 10 points higher on 35 is our most popular system. Epsilon Indy is recovering from last week's outbreak. There is nothing else going on in the system, so now is an ideal opportunity to jump in and boost Hutton's fortunes. Usually bottom of the heap, Barnard's Star is the first of two systems of 38, the second being LP-525-39. A point higher on 39 are two more systems, George's Pants and 36 Ofiuki. We were slowly recovering from previous advert states, but with a few days of bed rest and a high-fibre diet, they'll be ballooning the duvet and having the nurses throwing open the windows before you know it. In minor news, we are retreating from Acadia, one of our many misfired expansions from last year. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have five systems on or above 60%. We should find out where we've expanded to from Y0855-0714 in the next couple of days. Likely nowhere good, looking at the list of possibilities. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Epsilon Indy while the coast is clear, and if you want to shoot something, win the last day of the war in Ross 671.